You're listening to EAA Radio. I'm Afterburner Al, and joining me is Brian Addis, Chief Flight Instructor for Whip Air Incorporated. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to see you again after, I think it's been 11 years.
11 years, Al. Thank you.
Yes. We last saw each other down at Fleming Field in South St. Paul when you handed me my temporary flight instructor certificate for my initial CFI.
Yes, sir. I remember.
I can't believe it's been that long, but I suppose when you send each CFI off into the world, sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. All I hope for is that they use it well, and it appears that you've done that.
I remember your words specifically. You handed me the certificate and says, don't forget to use it, and 1,700 instructional hours later, I'm still using it.
Great. Good news.
And now you're Chief Flight Instructor for Whip Air.
For Whip Air, yes. Right now I'm conducting training for any of the customers that have float planes, seaplanes, buy new products, the 3,000 floats, 3450s, 2100s, 2350s, the caravan floats, and enjoying it immensely. And doing the initial tests for all the new products, and keeps me busy.
A pilot who gets a float, or maybe is new to float planes, I suppose factory support like that, especially instruction of pilot technique, is really important.
It's very important for the pilot, and it's important for the insurance company as well, because we can offer the training for that specific product or that aircraft on that specific product, so it enables them to leave not only well-trained but knowing the system as well as they possibly could coming from the factory.
Talk about the initial challenges of obviously a land-based aircraft versus a sea, or rather water-based aircraft.
Initial challenges. Well, there's actually two challenges. Number one, the challenge of a seaplane versus the challenge of a wheel plane. Then the challenge of an amphibious seaplane versus the challenge of a land plane. A lot of people don't realize that we make straight floats, non-amphibious floats, as well as amphibious floats, and we do training in both. But the challenges are, if you're a straight float pilot, the first challenge is, where am I going to get gas? So before you ever buy, it's a good idea to think about that and how you're going to use the airplane, and talk to us, talk to the salespeople, and perhaps the straight float isn't the airplane for you. If you have an idea and some thoughts, tell us about it, and then we can help you through your decision. If it is amphibious floats you've decided on, well, that makes life easier because you can land on land and you can land on water as well. But the biggest challenge is just a new world, and the new world is landing on water. And it isn't just landing on water. Every time you land on the land with any airplane, there's been a few million dollars of engineering done, design engineering on the airport before you ever land there, cutbacks, approach zones, approach slopes, 20-to-1 glide slopes, etc. The seaplane pilot, every time he or she lands, he or she does all that engineering right there on the spot. So that's the biggest challenge, is knowing where you're going, knowing what you have in your environment right in front of you.
What are the specific uniqueness of your products that you impart upon your customers?
The uniqueness of our products, for the most part, are we probably design one of the better flotation floats. That is, it has a tendency to be quite forgiving in high winds, in the high wind taxi. It's a very good design in terms of flotation. It's a good design in terms of takeoff and landing. Leverage to the step, all of those things are the result of years and years and years of engineering, design, redesign, and changing the product so that now some 50 years later we have a completed product.
So the company's been in this particular line for...
It's 1962, yes, so many years.
And what was the genius of them getting into the field?
I think the genius was originally Mr. Whiplinger, who's passed away, but the original design, there's still quite a bit of our present-day design in that original design, and it's now what I would call a finished product.
And Alaska, and I've seen it in the coastal waters. Certainly, the float plane is part of the fabric of the culture. It kind of makes the world go round. How does that compare to, say, the upper Midwest, where it seems more of a recreational application?
It is more of a recreational application in the United States than it is in Alaska and Canada. It's Alaska and Canada are more commercialized in terms of using their seaplanes because they need to. However, we offer a product that is used not only commercially but recreationally. But it should be noted that our product, we probably build 75% of all the floats that are built in the entire world, and all the other manufacturers build the other 25%. So it's an accepted product, and people keep buying them. So yeah, we must be doing something right.
What are some of the things that usually go wrong with floats? Mistreatment or catching debris in the water?
The kinds of things that go wrong with floats usually happen on the dock. If you take a look at a float...
Hitting other things.
And take a look at a boat. A boat is designed like a V. A float is designed like an inverted V, basically hitting things, hitting docks. The worst enemy of a seaplane is a boat dock. And a boat dock is different than a float dock. And as long as you understand that and know it, you can get by. But a float is delicate in terms of where you're going to put it and how you're going to use it, and we usually try to help the customers with those decisions before they buy.
There's quite a prolific float plane fly-in up in Maine, and
yes.
I just saw a 30th anniversary video.
Greenville,
yes. Incredible to see the old films of that fly-in and all the different types of craft that they're floating.
Maine is a wonderful state for using seaplanes, and as such, they have a wonderful seaplane community and, well, an unprecedented annual get-together in Greenville. And the people there, they know, love, and respect their seaplanes.
Talk about what are some of the... I'm going back to this fly-in in Maine, but I saw some of the fun competitions that they do. What are some of the competitions you like to do with float planes?
I like to do not the... I like to stay away from the extraordinary competition, but I like the skilled competition and train people for the skilled competition, and that is land on a specific spot or pick up something out of the water. Those are probably the two that are the most demanding in terms of skill.
Describe for me your favorite Saturday flying float plane activity.
My favorite Saturday flying float plane activity. This is a secret. No one knows this, and no one can tell.
It's like a fishing spot, right?
Yeah. Yes, you can't tell. Take your seaplane, and in your state, no matter what state it is, fly over all your lakes. You will find some lakes, some small, some large size, some medium size, and look at the lake that has no homes, no buildings, no roads. That is the only way you can get into that lake is to drive into it. They're all over. They're everywhere in Wisconsin. They're everywhere in Minnesota. You don't notice them because you're always in your car. You seldom notice them in your land plane because you're not looking for them. Land on that lake. No one fishes it but you. And the water will boil with fish. Take what you need. Don't take more. And have a nice day. You don't have to worry about what time of day you fish. You don't have to worry about bait. You don't have to worry about what lures. You don't have to worry about structure. You can be the clumsiest fisherman in the world, and you'll catch fish in that lake, guaranteed. That's a secret. Don't tell.
Let's say we're going to take a week, and we're going to take our float plane somewhere. Where
yes.
would you go?
I think I'd go into Canada. You don't have to go very far into Canada, and you can have a wonderful time. Visit the website Explore Minnesota. There's a wonderful way of looking at some of the resorts and wonderful places that you can go to just in the state of Minnesota if you like resort flying. If you like a little more rustic flying and get closer to bush flying, the same thing in Canada. Canada Tourism. Visit your favorite search engine for Canada Tourism, Canada Seaplane Tourism, and a whole list of things will come up and help you through that process. You don't need to go very far into Canada, and you can have a wonderful time. Make sure that you comply with the Canadians' request in terms of your flight plans. Remember, their idea is we don't want you to come in, take our fish, and leave, and not leave any money. So they'd like you to visit the resorts as well.
Brian, thanks very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. You're welcome.
Brian Addis is the chief flight instructor for Whip Air Incorporated. He's sent many flight instructors into their careers, including myself. You're listening to EAA Radio.